CEO Steve Rossich joins us on the program. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Is it a good or bad thing? They say there's no such thing as bad publicity. How have you found the week?
It would have been nice to have a write a reply in the article on the back page of the West today.
Talk us through it. The discussion in terms of the Players Association, and this is the back page of the West Australian today, are going to come across and speak to your players in terms of concerns over Fremantle's rehabilitation program. What's the truth in that?
Well, there is an annual meeting between the club and the AFLPA, and that takes part at this time of the year each and every year. They do it with all 18 clubs. Our meeting with the AFLPA happens to be this Thursday, and has been planned for some time. The topic of discussion that you've referred to wasn't on the agenda, but I'll be happy and keen for our players to talk to the AFLPA if they have any concerns. And as the article said today, when they spoke to Paul Marsh, the CEO of the AFL Players Association, there has been no dialogue between any of our players and the AFLPA on concerns in this area. And it certainly is different to what we see from the feedback we get independently from the players through the annual AFLPA survey, where our players rate us independently with the AFLPA as one of the top performing clubs in the AFL and our services to players off the field. So that's a bit more context around the article in the paper today.
Steve, Mark Duffield here. Obviously, Paul Marsh made some comments in that article. Have you had any direct conversation with Paul about this issue?
We had contact with the AFLPA earlier this week regarding the agenda. And as I said, this wasn't on the agenda. There's other items such as, you know, the off-season break, AFLX, and the illicit drugs policy from the AFL. I did call Paul this morning just regarding his comments, and obviously he was responding to a call and made some statements. So they're a very supportive organisation. Our club and our playing group work very closely with the AFLPA. Angie Bain, who's the state representative of the AFLPA, is in our building regularly, and we invite her to be so that we do get that interactive feedback from our players through Angie independently all the time. And as I said, this has not come up.
And obviously this flows on from Colin Young, the player manager's comments in the wake of Shane Kirsten's departure from the club. What interactions have you had with Colin since his comments of the other day, and what resolution have you come to out of that?
Look, regular conversations with Colin, myself, mainly through Peter Bell and Mark McAuliffe, but on this topic, certainly conversations directly with Colin. We issued a statement yesterday with comments from Peter Bell, which was reported in the West on Friday, and I think those comments said it all, that we're very positive about our people in this place space of injury rehabilitation and athlete management. But that doesn't mean that we don't look at it all the time and continually assess what we're doing and how we're doing it and make sure we continue to improve. We do have an injury list which, in terms of number of players that are out at the moment, is probably around about the average in the AFL. And one of the issues that we've got is that the type of player that's injured, there's a lot of a similar type. There's not many soft tissue injuries, but with the likes of Hogan, Tabana, Lobb, and Alex Pearce, there's some of our key tools, which is certainly made it a bit more challenging for our coaching team and the structures they can employ on game day.
And how does something like this affect your relationship with a manager? Because Colin, I think, as of this year, manages 17 of your players. It might be a few fewer next year. But are you confident that you can move on and have a productive relationship with someone like Colin and also the players that he manages in the wake of the events of this week?
Well, I've certainly touched base with, personally, a couple of the players that he manages to make sure that there's nothing that the club needs to know about in terms of the relationship that we don't, and they're very comfortable, those players. And then with respect to Colin, it's business as usual from here, notwithstanding, you know, the comments that we issued from Peter Bell in the last 48 hours. But regular contact with Colin, and it's moved on to now looking at his players, where they sit contractually, and indeed a few of them in terms of extending their, looking at possibilities of extending their term with the Fremantle Football Club. So it's now back to business as usual, specifically.
Steve, Mick Malthouse, I understand this question might be a bit of left field, but do you think you've got too many? And it's pretty hard to answer. There's too many. And what is the optimum number that you would like to have any one manager deal with all your players? It just seems that you can be hijacked so easily, that you can be held at ransom so easily by just one bloke?
Look, it's a question we've asked ourselves, Mick, so it's not completely left field. But the way we approach it is our relationship is with the player and they have whomever they have managing them. So our focus is in who we want to retain, who we want to attract to our football club, specifically from an athlete point of view, and really whom they come with as manager is who we work with. And we've got a really good track record of working with a broad base of managers around the country. But as Mark indicated, you know, the two dominant managers in this marketplace are Colin Young and Jason Dover. So it's fair to say we've got a number of players that come from those two stables. And that's okay. We'll continue to work as proactively as we can with them.
Do you find that in itself is dangerous, that it's one player against another, not necessarily the players causing this, but Colin Young causing this? That, I mean, he's always, I've found that clubs that deal with Colin Young from this side of town find it very difficult to deal with him. And because he has such a big number of players, you tiptoe over eggshells because you don't want to upset one player compared to another because of his hold on these players. Do you find that you have to, I guess, back off a little bit, which you really want to say?
Well, we approach our relationship with Colin as we do with all other managers, is acting in the best interest of the players. And if I can say, you know, that's certainly Colin's focus as well. But we take a high communication approach. We try and establish the relationship, have open communication channels. Clearly, over the last week, there's some external media which hasn't been helpful and probably helpful to individual, hasn't been helpful to individual players. But we just work through that.
Is he the hardest to deal with?
I think it's a bit unfair.
It's not really, because you've got so many players held up. There's a lot of Western Australians are under Colin Young, and that's a fact. The more players under one in one team, it makes it far more difficult to deal with the principally just the one player, as opposed to remembering there's four or five others coming out of contract, and there only needs to be a little bit of a vendetta, and of course you're up against it. Do you find him the hardest one to deal with?
I think it's a fair question, but your statement's right. It's we're looking at each and every conversation, each and every renewal discussion independently of the other. That's how we approach it, because it's all about what is in the best interest of that player, and then in terms of the football club, I think we've got a track record of doing that consistently with all managers, including Colin. And sometimes you agree to disagree, and you just work through that. So I'd like to think we've had a strong relationship with Colin, and despite the last week being quite an external conversation, I'd like to think that will continue. It tends to be a generally positive relationship.
Steve Rossage, the CEO of the Fremantle Football Club, is with us here on ABC Perth and WA. This is Sports Talk. Steve, Mark Duffield, sitting across from us, called for perhaps an independent review into Fremantle with the situations that you face at the moment. How do you feel about that?
In terms of what we're actually doing is, in September, we replaced Chris Bond in our GM football role, a key role looking after our football operations, with Peter Bell. And Peter's been in the role now for 10 months. Initially, it was about working really hard to orientate, and it was a new role for him, so learning and developing and growing in that role. And from about May, as planned, the scope that he's been given by myself is to really look at our football operations, not just for this season, but how we set it up for next season, 2020 and beyond, and looking at things that we can enhance, improve, do differently, clearly people and structures and those sorts of things. So that work is ongoing. We reported on that at our board meeting earlier this week. And by the end of the year, we'll look to firm up those plans under Peter's guidance. And I'm certainly assisting him strongly in that. And what that shows is we've got really good people and good structures, but you can always improve and enhance. And that's clearly what we'll look to do as we've gone through the rebuild. It's now trying to get us back to really challenge for finals on a consistent basis. We find ourselves one game out of the eight with four to play, so we're alive, but we want to get back to playing finals consistently as soon as possible. So we're looking at everything in that process.
So did Peter appoint your current list manager?
Correct, yes. So Peter's general manager, Hoodie, and he has Mark McCallop reporting to him. That was one of the first appointments that Peter made as endorsed by the club at that time.
Now, there are reports and rumours that the club was looking to perhaps move Mark on. Is that true?
I think I addressed this on this program a couple of weeks ago. And Mark certainly orientating himself well in the role. I think we've re-signed in the order of 12 or 13 players since his appointment, and he's continuing to work hard in that role. And in his area, list management and recruiting, how we work with David Walls in our Melbourne office and his team, but every aspect of football, whether it's coaching, development, sports sites, etc., is being looked at to make sure we're operating at the level we need to be to get back to playing finals football.
Steve, Brent Guerra has been told he won't be offered a contract. How many other assistant coaches do you think will be moved on? Obviously, August 1 is a guideline period for the AFL in terms of letting these people know whether they're likely to be there or not be there next year.
Well, that's related to the work that Peter's doing now with my oversight and then with the board. Brent's situation is a little bit different. He was considering moving back to Melbourne, and Kay Thorson said, look, can I have an indication now so I can make plans? And we advised him that we weren't looking to recontract him for next year. So that has been completed now, and spoke to Brent again yesterday, and he'll be moving back to Melbourne in due course. With respect to all of our operations, there's a dual focus. There's the next 4 weeks where our season's still alive, really focusing on that, and then post the season starting to roll out where we see things, including, you know, the people that you're referring to.
Appreciate you chatting today with us, Steve. All the best.
Thanks, gents, and looking forward to the footy today.